Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. Will T is out. We are also part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV teams. What's good, Ray?
Happy New Year, brother. Happy New Year to our listeners. Today is the first day we are administering the vaccine. And not the COVID vaccine, but we're giving out Chase Young and Russell Westbrook vaccines, brother. So if you are voluntarily willing to get that in your DNA, you're in the right place.
Oh,
definitely.
Man.
But not in all seriousness, isn't it fun to talk playoffs? Isn't it worth it? Tom Brady coming to town, Chase Young talking. I'm telling you, it's all been worth it. 7-9, I don't care about any of that. Throw that out. You have a home playoff game coming up, brother. You have to admit it's dope.
It is dope, man. First show of the new year, so happy 2021 to folks. But yeah, it's dope. Dope time. You know, there's some buzz in the area. You know, you got the Washington football team going to the postseason, going to see, you know, the great Tom Brady. A lot of people look at him as the GOAT. And then you got, you know, Russ and the Washington Wizards. They're looking a little better. So I think it's a good time to be a DC sports fan. But subscribe
2-0.
To 2-0, right? Exactly. 2-game winning streak. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. All right, we'll talk about the Washington football team defeating the Philadelphia Eagles 20-14 to become the NFC East champs and their upcoming NFC wild card playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Washington football team reporter Donna Hopkins will be a guest for this segment. At 8:20, NBA reporter Troy Halliburton will join the show to talk about the Washington Wizards' improved play of late. Ray referenced them being on a 2-game winning streak. At 8:40, we'll talk about Ryan Garcia, TKO, and Luke Campbell, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. Armand Lee will jump on the show to discuss this. Then finally, we'll talk NFL playoffs with host of the Football Garbage Time podcast, Ha-Kun Wong, and Ryan Whitfield. But first, right now we have Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Washington football team reporter Donna Hopkins on the line. What's good, Donna?
What's up, Ray and Wally? You know what? I heard Washington football playoffs. That is music to my ears.
Yes. Yes.
It is.
Tell him, Donna. Tell him. I've been telling him that for weeks and our listeners. I can't stop reminding people.
And look, you know what? I don't care how they got there. I don't care about the Philadelphia game. I don't care about the coach pulling Hurts. I don't care about any of that. That's their problem. All I know is this Washington football team is in the playoffs, mm-hmm. First time since 2015. So my ears are ringing.
So Donna, you mentioned that talking about like some of the press this football team, the Eagles have gotten, to be honest with you, not even the football team, for pulling the players and not having Jalen Hurts finish the whole game. Did you see an issue with that? Just looking outside of not covering this team, did you personally see an issue with that?
Well, you know, when it happened, I was like, what in the world is going on? I said, did I miss something? Mm-hmm. Did he get hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at the players' faces on the bench on the sidelines and even Hurts' face, it was like, what craziness is going on right now? Yeah, I was pretty shocked because although the Eagles were not going to the playoffs, but the thing about it is you want to play your best football and you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to hear that excuse is they wanted to hear or see about what they had quarterback-wise. You already knew what you had quarterback-wise.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to get in the game. He was drafted by the Washington football team. But to pull him at a crucial time, and he was creating havoc for the Washington football team's defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I really still don't understand why that happened because I was looking with a puzzled face like everybody else was.
Yeah, I was surprised, just like everybody else. That my, I guess my thing is about like is the Giants, you know, the Giants organization and coaches complaining about what the Eagles did. And I'm like, you're a 6-10 football team. Why are you complaining about playoffs? You're 6-10. Like, you could have won football games to get just to make sure you controlled your own destiny. So I guess my thing was like, all right, I get why, you know, some fans can be annoyed to a certain extent, but at the end of the day, you're 6-10. I know if as a Washington fan, if that happened, if it was the other way around, I would look at games that this team should have won rather than look at, oh, why, how come the Eagles didn't compete?
Yeah, you look at the culture. When we talk about culture, we talk about what Ron Rivera said when he came here, that he was changing the culture. When we look at the Philadelphia Eagles, the culture needs to be changed a lot in that organization because, you know, look at their quarterback situation. And even Peterson, I mean, we don't even know if he's going to remain as the coach. I know that he had a meeting with the owners today, and you know, he had voiced some displeasure in too many voices saying what needs to happen throughout the course of the season. So when you got too many people in the pot making decisions, then the coach has his hands tied to a certain degree. And you know what? I don't understand the process of what he did. I'm not in his head to say why he did what he did. I mean, he is the only one that knows that. But at the end of the day, this Washington football team, give them credit for winning the game, whether they pulled Hurts or not. The defense had to play well down the stretch, and they did. So, I mean, I'm giving the Washington football team credit. I mean, they made it interesting because a depleted Philadelphia team, they really still struggled with winning that game. And the week before, all they had to do was win, and then they wouldn't have had to be biting their nails in that last game. So it is what it is. They're in the playoffs, so we got to move on past and get ready for Tampa Bay.
So Ray, did you have a question?
Not at all.
Oh, I thought you did.
Okay,
I thought you did.
I'm sorry. I don't have a question.
I gave y'all so many tips.
No, because
No, Donna, I was just commenting in the background that we got to talk about this playoff game. Forget about Philly. It's over and done with. Thank you for your comments about Ron Rivera. That's a perfect segue because he's created this culture and now it's led to a playoff game. But what does he do now? What decisions does he make at quarterback? It's been a common theme over the past couple of weeks about who's going to start. But now Dwayne's out the picture. You got two guys who seem capable based on the fact that your backup has experience in Heineke in this system with two other organizations. And Alex, we know he's a warrior. So what would you do this week if you were Ron Rivera?
Hey, Ray, you know, you brought up some key points because that is the concern with me right now going into this playoff game is the quarterback situation and the health of Alex Smith. Because we saw in that Philadelphia game, his mobility is not there. But the fact that, you know, he's out there and wanting to play and he adds so much, you could see a little bit as far as him not being able to step into or step back as far as to put a little more zip on the ball. Mm-hmm. So that concerns you. But Ron Rivera in his press conference said today that he may play, rotate both quarterbacks, depending on what is happening. So, I mean, is that an advantage for the Washington football team because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't know which quarterback to prepare for because you may be throwing Heineken in somewhat and then you've got Alex Smith. But also on the other end, how does that disrupt the flow of the offense and the receivers when they're, you know, as far as the tempo of Alex Smith, but Alex Smith adds so much as far as experience, but Heineken adds so much as far as his mobility.
Yeah.
But I think that when it comes down is that the offensive line is going to have to do a tremendous job in protecting Alex Smith. And then the Washington football team must establish the running game and really stick with that.
Yeah, because,
so Donna,
go right.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go. Definitely go right. Go.
What do you think about the Devin White injury on Tampa's side? And just give us your overall thoughts of how you expect this game to play out. What chances do you give Washington to win this game?
Well, I think these two teams match up well against each other. I think that the defense is going to be key also. Devin White gone is key for them, the linebacker for Tampa Bay. And then we even mentioned Evans may not play as far as the receivers, because let me tell you, the receiving core for Tampa Bay is so strong. Yeah. They've got three strong people. With Antonio Brown coming on, he's had four touchdowns in the last three games. Mm. So, you know, he came into the flow in the middle of the season, and now he's starting to pick up. But this is where the defense can come in. If you pressure Tom Brady and knock him off his rhythm, that is where you're going to be able to attack them. Because if you allow him to step back there and get into a flow, he's going to pick you apart all day. But the defensive pressure is going to be the key in disrupting. So I think that this game can go either way. But the thing that concerns me is not so much the defense, it's the offense and being able to score, because we know that the offense all season long has struggled to put points on the board. And 20 points and 15, 14 points and all of that is not going to get it done when we know that Tom Brady just put up 44 and can, you know, put up 44 again. If that defense doesn't do their job in putting the pressure on him and rattling him and getting him off his game.
Yeah, isn't to your point, like, isn't that more on the offense? Because we've seen this defense, if they're not on the field forever, they're able to, you know, get the offenses off the field, the opposing offenses off the field. But isn't very important for Scott Turner and his team and his unit to sustain drives and not have three and outs, so you can limit the attempts for Tom Brady.
You're exactly right, Wally, because this team offensively have to start strong. They cannot afford to get behind in this game, because it's no catching up. This is like the NCAA tournament. You're won and you're done. And you go home. And then you look at everybody else and wishing that you were still in the dance. So the offense, they've got to do their part. This is one time that all three phases of this team, they've got to play almost a perfect game. So they've got, like, the Washington football team started off strong against Philadelphia. But we see how they came back. Now, the advantage for this Washington team is that Tom Brady is not going to run or do anything that some of the mobile quarterbacks have done and to hurt this football team, Washington football team. But the thing about it is the offensive side of the ball, they've got to do their part. That, like you said, Wally, they can't do three and out, and then they go in at halftime trying to play catch-up ball. They can't afford to make mistakes either. Cannot turn over the ball, and field position is so key for this team.
And also, you heard Chase Young after the game, after the Eagles game, and the great Chase Young, because the dude keeps getting better and better, said that, you know, he wants Tom. And do you feel like that's like bulletin board material for Tom Brady? Because already Arians came out and said, like, be careful what you wish for.
You know what? I'm not mad at Chase Young, because I like his energy. I like because he can back up what he says. Because you look at his play over the last 3 weeks, he's been like a wrecking ball. Him and Monte Sweat, to me, have been the anchors for that defense all season long. They are such a dynamic duo. They're like Batman and Robin. I don't know which one is Batman. I don't know which one is Robin, because they switch up both times. But I like the fact that they are the dynamic duo. But I like what Chase Young does. I like that energy that he brings. He pumps up everybody else on that defense and on that team. So the thing about it is, hey, I don't have no problem with you saying I want Tom Brady. That's what I want. I want you to be hungry to say, I'm not afraid of you, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, or nobody else that we're going to face. So you got to have confidence like that going into a game like this. So I don't have any problems with that.
Hey, Donna, I've already made my prediction, but I do like Washington's chances, and here's why. I want to get your thoughts. Washington is now known as a second-half football team. We know to beat Tom Brady, you have to play all four quarters. You cannot let up, because he's that dangerous. Do you think that gives this team an advantage going into this game, being that they played well, notably in the second half, over this sort of hot streak that they had. If it wasn't for Alex and Antonio Gibson and McLaurin's injuries, I feel as though they would have ran the table. So do you think this is an advantage for this football team, knowing that they're really good in the second half?
You know what? You got to be able to play 60 minutes of football when you go into the playoffs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you, I, you know, this second half team and whatever has made them struggle to fight to just to be into the playoffs. So I just believe that they've got to be a first half team and a second half team when you're going into the playoffs and facing anybody, not just Tom Brady. You got to establish from the beginning of the game, taking control and keeping control of the game. So that's my outlook on, you know, this Washington team going into that. I mean, I cringed because you just don't know about the second half. Although they've been strong, you know, the playoffs is totally different.
Yep.
Totally different energy. And the fact that this team has not been there since 2015, and the fact that the majority of this team is a young team. So, you know, you got that on your shoulders, too, of the pressure of this is a playoff game. You know, if we don't win, it's over. So I think that they just got to play a complete game from the start to the finish.
Well, Donna, before we let you go, we've seen that you've been doing a lot of shows. Do you want to plug any show or anything like that before we let you go?
Well, you know, I'm Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. You know, this week we've got Doc Walker on there and a whole line of guys that's going to, you know, break down just this playoff game. You know, Doc has been there before, was on the championship Washington football team when they – we're winning Super Bowls in playoff games. So I mean, it was great kicking with them. And, you know, Tony is always colorful. And then, you know, Marvin's show and that's the reason why I got to leave you.
I know, Donna. I know.
I got to hop on over there on that side with the sideline report. But I think it's just great with, you know, the buzz around this city. Finally, this team is into the playoff, and the energy that Ron Rivera brings, a new breath of fresh air to this town and this organization. And, you know, I'm hoping that this is not a one and done playoff appearance, but this team can make some noise. And if they get past Tampa Bay, then they're just going to build their confidence even more in facing either the New Orleans Saints next. I think is on the table according to who wins that game. So it's an exciting time for this team.
Definitely. Hey, Donna, hopefully they can do it. I appreciate you for being on. Go jump on the next show.
Wally, you're right. I got my fingers crossed. I got my toes crossed. I got everything crossed that I can have crossed. I've got the four-leaf clover. I've got all of those.
Donna, you're going to be in the building, though, so you're going to be good. You're going to see it all, you know, up close and personal. So you good.
Always good having you, Donna. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Have a good one. See you. Again, that was Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Washington football team reporter, Donna Hopkins. She's awesome. She's just an amazing person. All right. The Washington Wizards are on a two-game winning streak. NBA reporter Troy Halliburton will be on to talk about the Wizards after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Bole, Ray Jeezy, Will Tease Out. We're part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Yo, I love the old retro NBA song. I can play that thing all day, man. It takes me back to my youth when you hear that NBA on NBC type of theme music. But right now we have NBA reporter Troy Halliburton on the line. Troy has covered the Washington Wizards for 5 seasons. What's good, my dude?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing today?
Man, we're good, man.
Hey, Troy, we are old enough to remember the real world. And remember, the real world had the confessional. And I'm going to start, and I want you to go after me. I confess that as much as I love John Wall, I was in favor of the trade for Russell Westbrook. That's my confession. So tonight, I may be biased in some of my opinions. your turn.
Hey, I can appreciate that confessional. I'm going to say that I think that my confessional is that I don't think that Bradley Beal is going to be a wizard for 2 months longer. So I was
I got a confession about Bradley Beal, but I'm going to get a lot of like hate if I say it, you know what I'm saying? So, but my confession for Bradley Beal is that it's good to be that dude for three quarters and 10 minutes, but when you need that clutch basket, I'll give him credit against the Brooklyn Nets, he made a big play. But for most of the time I've seen Bradley Beal for three quarters and 10 minutes into that last quarter, he's good. He's real good. But those last 2 minutes, he ain't the same dude.
Yeah, I've been highly disappointed in Bradley Beal's closing crunch time play for the last couple of years myself. So I'm right there with
okay,
you.
To make sure I ain't the only, okay, just making sure I ain't the only one.
I'm disappointed, though. I'm disappointed, Troy. I thought you was going to admit that you really don't like Russell Westbrook.
That's not even a confession. I'm wearing that all my
life. That's not even a confession. I love it.
A confessional is something that, you know, I'm trying to, I don't want the rest of the house to know. Like, I'm walking around like with that on my, I got a jacket on. Like, yo, man, get out of here, man.
Oh, hold up, because you tweeted, John Wall love is not Russ hate. But I was like, that's bullcrap.
Nah, but the thing is, I'm not hating on Russ because it's not Russ's fault. It's the it's the ownership's fault. It's Ted Leonsis' fault for pulling the trigger, a hastily decision, but that wasn't a basketball decision. To bring in Russell Westbrook, he called him high character and durable. He can't even play back-to-back, and he coming out here shooting 25 times a game,
28, 6, 7.
Like, I don't know what's going on with this guy, man.
Let's get to the Wizards though, real quick. Let's do some positive speaking for the Wizards. They're doing something right now, something positive right now. So after losing 5 straight games to open the season, the Wizards have won 2 straight, including a big win over KD, Kyrie, and the Brooklyn Nets. How impressive was that win against Brooklyn for you, Troy?
That was a very impressive win because Brooklyn had just lost 2 nights before they lost to the Atlanta Hawks. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, they were at full strength with Kyrie and KD both in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a game that they very much needed to get themselves back on track.
Yep.
And the Wizards just came out and they looked like a team that was ready to play competent basketball. When you look at, I think the biggest difference from the Wizards' 0-5 start or the first 4 games they were without Rui Hachimura, last year's first-round draft pick. And I think that really, I mean, this team, I think that they're thin on talented basketball players. And people can say whatever they want to about Rui. I don't know. I don't think he's nobody's Kawhi Leonard. But he can play right now, and he's a solid rotational player. And so adding him into that lineup gives Scott Brooks at least a solid 8 players that he can go to. And I think that that makes all the difference in the world as far as the Wizards' output for their ability to win this year.
Troy, I ain't gonna lie, I'm like you. I was a bit naive thinking that the Wizards will be better defensively this year. That's the Achilles heel, because with the addition of Denny, you just mentioned Rui, and Rui being put in the right position in the post, this team has potential, especially in a meh Eastern Conference. But what do they do to get better defensively? We've been talking about it for, what, now 3-4 seasons? How does this change?
Well, I think the first thing they can do to get better defensively is to start playing their best defensive players. And so when you look at a guy like Isak Bonga, who is by far the Wizards' best defender, he's you know, he has gone completely out of the Wizards' rotation over the last three games. And so I think that they also need to stop heavily being reliant on Thomas Bryant to defend at the rim when he's not even a rim defending center. And they need to do a better job at the point of attack with their guard defenders, and that starts with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, but keeping their mans in front of them and not having opposing players dive into the basket at free will.
So back, I want to go back to Rui because, you know, I've actually grown to like Rui. Well, I like Rui and Gonzaga too. I saw something different in that Brooklyn game where, you know, Rui was so impressive in the post. I mean, he had KD guarding him, and KD's is a really good defender. And in the block, you know, Rui was shooting fadeaways and getting what he wanted in the post against KD. Then he had mismatches with Harris. He had Kyrie. It was something that they actually ran offense through Rui, and they got positive. They had a positive outcome out of it. And I was surprised that, you know, even with the big win against Brooklyn, I guess I'm being negative. Even with the big win against Brooklyn in that fourth quarter, Brooks went away from it. And you saw Brooklyn getting a rhythm, and Brooklyn was able to get a run. But I felt like if they went to Rui a little bit more in the fourth quarter, maybe they win the game a little bit easier. But can we talk about how Brooks can probably get Rui more implemented into the offense, not just having him out there as a spot shooter, a spot-up shooter, or every once in a while be a guy he can throw in the block, somebody he can constantly get the ball in get the ball to in the block, like constantly?
Well, did Scott Brooks go away from Rui, or did Russell Westbrook go away from Rui?
Man, I thought it was Scotty.
Honestly, I think that there's a little bit of a discrepancy there, you know, and I don't like to defend Scott Brooks often, but for me, I think that they have made a concerted effort to run some nice stuff for Rui in his second year. Mm-hmm. And so I think that one of the things that they have really taken advantage of is when teams running switching defenses. Mm-hmm. And so if they get Rui on a smaller defender,
oh my God.
I mean, what's Shaq's phrase? Barbecue chicken.
Barbecue and chicken. Like, that's what's facts.
And Rui, the thing is that I like the two things that I'm most impressed by with Rui, his offensive game and his development for this year are when he posts up smaller defenders, he's sealing them. He catching that ball. He's going up dunking every time this year. Like, and that's something that I think last year that he used to get a lot of his shots blocked because, you know, he's trying to do late. He's trying to finesse it, lay the ball up. You get them small people on, seal them, get the ball, catch, and go up and dunk. He's been doing that. And then also, I think that when he's when he hasn't been able to seal and he's gotten the ball on the nail or in that high post area, he's been able to kind of back his man down. And if they send attention, double teams his way, he's kind of shown an adept touch with his passing skills for this year that I don't think that he showed at all last year. So, you know, with him hitting the ball and if that attention comes, him being able to find open teammates, it's kind of a system, an offensive system that they can and should run more. And I believe Scott Brooks wants to do that. But you got Russell Westbrook out there, you know, coming down, pulling up pull-up threes. He shoots 10% from three. He pulling up for threes with 7 seconds left on the shot clock. I don't get it.
And Bill, though. Let's be real. Bill's part of the reason, too, that Rui don't get them touches either, though.
But at least Bill averaging 30. Like,
man.
No, listen. There has to be a pecking order here. Mm-hmm. And so, Bill, all right, if you're going to be the star player this year team, then you got to have a carte blanche to be able to take some shots and miss some shots. But Russell Westbrook, you need to get in line. And if you're not on, you need to start passing the ball. There's no reason Russell Westbrook should have took 25 shots in that game against Brooklyn. Mm. So a lot of that, but again, this goes back to that. So I say that it might not be Brooks' fault, but then again, it is Brooks' fault because he's the coach, and he let Russell Westbrook just do whatever he wanted to do. It's OKC all over again.
You're listening to Urban Sports Team, part of Sports Journey. Check us out at sportsjourney.com. Right now, we have NBA reporter and resident Russell Westbrook here, Troy Halliburton on the line. Tomorrow, the Wizards have the Sixers in a rematch for the season opener. Troy, they just defeated KD and Kyrie. This is another opportunity for Brad to take down one of the Eastern Conference's best teams. What do the Wizards need to do to extend this winning streak to three games, bro?
Well, it's going to have to rely on Brad. So he's going to have to take advantage of his matchups on the Wizards, I mean, on the Sixers wing defenders. So mm-hmm. Danny Green and Seth Curry, he got to go at them. He got to get them 40 tomorrow if the Wizards want to win. And like, and Danny Green, you see, man, he got the stone feet out there. He can't.
He can't, you know, man. He been like, man, he was like that last year, man. He was like that last year.
Like, I said, man, you know, he's a veteran player, and that was probably a good move for the Sixers. He fits exactly what they need. But Bradley Beal need to go at him tomorrow, and he need to score. He need to make sure that he scores a lot of points. And I think that the Davis Bertans is also a key to what the Wizards need to do if they want to get a big upset win. Like, if they're going to be beating these good teams, Davis Bertans is going to have to come out here and hit 4 or 5 threes at night. But the thing is, they're giving him the opportunities. They're giving him the green light to shoot anytime he's open.
Oh, my God.
So he's just got to hit. So
he's not Clay, though. Gosh, he's not Clay. My goodness.
The man shot like 47% for three last year.
He did, but it's the kind of threes he's taking, though. Trey's like, he's going, like, this season, it's like, I get to having a green light. But it's like Ray said, like, it's not like a Clay green light. Like, he, oh my God, he's shooting like, you think he's shooting like 5 quarters, how many, like 3-5 feet in front of me, behind the 3-point line. I'm like, bro, on a catch and shoot, though. I'm talking on a catch and shoot. I'm like, come on, man. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when the Wizards gave him that $80 million contract, mm-hmm. I think that that's what they signed themselves up for.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, I think that they're going to live by that or die by that. Mm-hmm. So, you know. A lot of these games are going to come down to whether, you know, he could go 4-for-10 from three like he did the other night, yeah. Which mm-hmm. is still 40%.
That's good.
Like,
no, that's he's good. Like, yeah, definitely.
If he come out there, he take 10 of them crazy shots. If he hit 4 of them, he's done his job for the night.
That's true. That's
true. So, you know, I think that, you know, that they have a style of play that they want to have. I think that we also really have to look at what Thomas Bryant has done so far this season. With the efficiency level that he's playing at, now I know that he's playing at a level that I don't think anybody would say is sustainable. You know, he's shooting. I mean, the man only missed like 2 shots in the last 3 games. Yeah. You know, that's. But I think the biggest thing for the Wizards is finally figuring out how they can run their pick and rolls with him, mm-hmm. but also running pick and pops with Thomas Bryant as well. Like, he's a very versatile offensive center. And I think that if he can make Embiid work on the defensive end tomorrow night, then that'll give the Wizards a chance of upsetting the Sixers.
Yeah, he definitely
perfect segue, Troy. That's the biggest key for me is stopping Embiid or allowing everybody else to beat you but Embiid, because Embiid was the biggest difference maker in that first game. So Thomas Bryant is not the answer. I'm telling you now, that man, I could jump higher than Thomas Bryant. I love his game. I love what he's doing. But I'm just saying, in terms of athleticism, you mentioned Isak Bonga. We talk about Rui. This is where the team needs to get better. That's why I'm annoyed they didn't draft Bobo, but that's a whole other discussion. We need to have a lot more time to talk with him. But being able to neutralize Embiid, that's the key to me. I think everything else will fall in line. The offense will be there. You know, I love what Neto's doing on the bench as well. But what do you do defensively against these Sixers, knowing they have such a strong force in the middle?
Well, they're gonna have to double Embiid. They're gonna have to put some bodies on him. And, you know, I would be putting attention on him. I would be, you know, fronting him in the post so that he can't even catch the ball. I would be making him turn into a 3-point shooter. And if he gets the ball in the post, I would be doubling him. And I would just have to live with Danny Green. Go ahead and take 20 shots tomorrow, because, you know, like, I'm just going to have to live with that. And I'm just going to pray that, you know, that he just keep looking like how he's been looking. And that'll give you your best chance of winning. Because otherwise, you know, that Thomas Bryant, you know, he's like, what, 6'10", 6'11", and B's a legitimate 7'1", 280 pounds. Like, it's a mismatch. And so I don't think that, you know, they have the requisite bodies to be able to throw at MB to be able to guard him proficiently. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just going to have to double him, and, you know, you're going to have to give up something. And I believe that the best thing would be to try to force some of those inconsistent Philadelphia shooters to have to beat you tomorrow.
So, Troy, I don't know when next time we're going to have you on. And I know we don't like to do predictions necessarily, but where do the Wizards end up based on what you've seen so far?
I think that they are right to end up in that play-in tournament. So, to be one of those between the set. And that's a high-end aspiration.
Oh, wow.
To be, you know, between the 7 and 10 seed. I think that, you know, there's a chance that the Wizards could mess around and not finish and higher than a 10 seed and not be in that play-in tournament. And then you're going to be looking at a whole new set of problems next summer when you have Bradley Beal walking into the office, you know, asking them what's going on.
Yeah, because there'll be a coaching change, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's Scotty Brooks. You know how they had those hourglasses?
Yeah.
It's turned over. The sand is running.
I'm with you, bro. You already know how I feel. Hey, Troy, man, thanks for being on, man. Before we let you go, what projects or articles do you have, you know, coming out?
Man, I'm actually working on something right now with the Washington City paper. It's going to come out on the Wizards and their COVID protocols. I interviewed Dr. Medina from the Wizards medical staff and just talking about how he's going to be keeping the Wizards players safe and COVID-free for this season. Also, going to be working on some things with the Action Network, covering some betting lines. So, yeah, people get down there at Capital One Arena at the Sportsbook trying to place their bets, man. You need to be tapped into my account. When I start posting them money, let's get that money.
Okay, I'll bet. And what's the website?
Hey, Troy.
What's the website, Troy?
Oh, go ahead.
What's the website for that?
Oh, yeah, so yeah, actionnetwork.com. And then also go to check out my other work at WashingtonCityPaper.com.
I bet.
Go ahead, Troy, Ray. Did you catch that Bullets Forever article, bro? They gave you a shout-out.
Man, I missed that one today. I didn't read much today. I've been, you know, really focusing, tapped in on this Georgia Senate runoff. So I've been kind of paying attention to that. It's a very pivotal moment for our country that I think has been going underreported. So no. I know this is a sports podcast, so we'll just leave it at that.
I hear you. I was expecting a debate with you about Russ, but we didn't have time. You're such a nice dude. I couldn't even get mad.
The thing is, I'm trying to leave you with some self-dignity and respect right here. Because what's the debate at this point? How he's playing right now, I don't know how any logical person could come on here and defend him.
I'm not going to defend him necessarily. I feel as though Brooks, as you mentioned, plays a big role into what's going on. Like, Russ should not be a jump shooter. We know that anyway. And I think in terms of job, because I know they're going to be compared for this whole season. If not, they're going to be linked for the rest of their careers. But I want to see how John will hold up over the course of 72 games before I go all in on him. But I knew he was going to come back rejuvenated. And he needed a new start. And I feel like the Wizards did him a favor. I still love John, no doubt. But I love Russ, too. And I love what Russ brings to the table. And I think he'll help this franchise. Like I told the listeners earlier, we're giving out Russ vaccines and Chase Young vaccines. Pick one, Slim.
I'm worried about what John can do over the course of 72 games, too. But if he sits out back-to-back like Russ, he might be all right.
Yeah, that's facts.
Good party chat.
All right, y'all. Hey, man, I love coming on with y'all, man. Hey, y'all keep doing what y'all doing out here, shouting. Putting on for the people.
All right, man. You know, I appreciate you, homie. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
Hey, man, thanks, Troy. Man, make sure you follow Troy on Twitter at Troy Hollibur. That is TROYHALIBUR. Troy's awesome. Appreciate Troy.
Dope stuff.
Dope man. Stuff. Dope. I love you. I love your little back and forth, man. That was amazing. All right. Lightweight Ryan Garcia TKO Luke Campbell over the weekend, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. Armand Lee will jump on the show to talk about the fight after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Who gets mad at LL Cool J? I mean, that's like our regular fight song anyway, so y'all should be used to it by now. All right, right now we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, on the show. What's going on, Armand?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm here with Ray and Wole, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Y'all two, you know what I'm saying? My favorites, man. I appreciate y'all inviting me back on to the show. So much stuff to talk about. So, you know.
Likewise.
It's like extended family right now. You know what I'm saying?
Happy New Year, too, brother.
Yeah, hey, yeah, absolutely. Happy New Year to both of y'all good brothers.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. So, Armand, man, we just had you on last week. It was cool. It was dope. We talked basketball. Now we talking boxing. All right, Saturday night. After being knocked down for the first time, lightweight Ryan Garcia TKO'd Luke Campbell in the seventh round to become the WBC interim lightweight champ. What were your thoughts on Garcia's performance?
Well, let me start from the beginning. When Buddy came out with the crown on, with the Bama's carrying him out to the ring, I was like, Slim, you doing all of this for an interim championship? I was like, Chris Mannix, shout out to the DAZN crew. I was very happy that fight, they didn't play around. It didn't come on at midnight or 11:40.
That fight,
the walkthrough was at 6:15 on a Saturday evening. And I was like, yo, this is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I hope they do more of this in the future. I don't need to, I'm 38 now, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to be up, you know what I'm saying, one in the morning watching the fight. But so initially, I'm seeing Ryan Garcia come out, and, you know, he's on the little throne or whatever, and I'm thinking, man, he knows how to sell himself, give him credit, but he has run his mouth. He has garnered a lot of attention. The hype was there. He needed to live up to it. And in the second round, I believe it was the second round, when Luke dropped him, I was like, okay, here we go. Right? You know what I'm saying? This dude talked a good game, and he got caught clean, flush, beautiful punch by Luke Campbell. And then I was like, okay, we're going to see now. Now it's time to see. And, man, I swear that those performances are the performances, like I said this on my pod this week, man. There are very few, when boxing is done right, when you get all the minutia out the way, when you get all the politics out the way, when you get a performance like that, there is no sport I feel better than boxing. Those are the types of things that you're like, man, you know what? This kid had a lot of hype. We had a lot of questions. The talent was clear, but we didn't know how real he was. Those questions, those critics, all of that have been silenced. That was a superstar performance by Ryan Garcia. And the beautiful thing about it from the sport is that's a superstar performance after we saw a superstar performance from Canelo, after we saw a superstar performance from Teofimo, after we saw a superstar performance from Tank, after we saw, you know, a phenomenal comeback performance from Spence. If we just hone in on the 135 weight division, and Ray, you and I were going back and forth about this earlier on Twitter, like, this is a beautiful, this what we have potentially unfolding at 135 is something that there are no politics now. Now we have four or five, possibly six guys who are like, okay, run, toss up the ball, blow the whistle, ring the bell, and let's see who's the best. And Ryan Garcia has firmly put himself square in that conversation, and he's done it in a very exciting, flashy, and engaging way, which ultimately is great for the sport and for his brand and Golden Boy Promotion.
Armand, I'm glad you just said everything that you said, for the simple fact that I want to add, we're talking about his performance. He looked good. He overcame adversity for the first time in his career, even as an amateur. He said he was never knocked down.
Right.
So what did you think on the flip side about his footwork, which is a concern? And even though people will say, including, you know, many of us that who love boxing, who analyze boxing, we would say that Haney didn't look the best against Gamboa, but many think that Haney can beat Garcia. So where does he go from here? How did he improve on the footwork? Or do you feel like that's an issue? And can he beat some of these good fighters, or I'm sorry, great fighters at 135 and 205.
Yeah, I mean, so you hit the nail on the head, and they made mention of it multiple times on the broadcast. He's not on the ball of his feet. He's flat-footed, and I guess a lot of that's because that's where he draws his power. Luke Campbell's a phenomenal. He's a really good fighter. I'm not going to disrespect that man and say he's a gatekeeper. He's not a gatekeeper, but he's not a championship fighter at that realm. You know what I mean? Like, there's special fighters down at 135, and Luke Campbell, just no fault of him. That's not to discredit the man. He's one of the better fighters, clearly, but he's not special. So Ryan Garcia, whether it was his footwork, he kept his hands down a lot. Again, you know Luke Campbell throwing the left. That's what he does. And the knockdown specifically was caught flush, and he got tapped a few times with that left.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite stunned that Ryan kept his hands down as much as he did. But, you know, they can get to the lab and they can work on some things. The problem is, you're right, Haney didn't look great. And when you look at the contemporaries at 135, like, all of them fought so well, relatively close to one another. And Haney was the guy who looked the least impressive. Mm-hmm. But he's a slick and skilled boxer. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Ryan, he keep on throwing the water at the mirror, calling Candyman's name. He don't want Tank. He don't want Tank.
Nope.
You keep your hands down like that, and you're not moving. You know, it's gonna be a long night for you if you're doing that with Tank.
Uh-huh.
But on the flip side, if you were to fight someone like a Haney, which it looks like that's going to be the next fight for him, you know, I'm worried that he's not as skilled to deal with a slick fighter like Haney.
Yeah.
The great equalizer, he's got that power. And, you know, Haney's a great boxer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not as if he can't be touched.
Yeah.
And when you have that type of power, you kind of can neutralize things. But for Ryan, you know, he answered a lot of doubts. But there are some basic things that they need to work on, especially if he's just going to be flat-footed, then he's going to have to figure out a way to be more defensive-minded. And because a guy against guys like Haney, he's just going to ring up points. You know what I mean? And then looking ahead, maybe there's a fight with Lomachenko. Maybe there's a fight with Shakur Stevenson, depending on what he wants to do with his career. These are all very, very skilled boxers. Maybe not the power, right, that Ryan has. Definitely not the power that Tank or Teofimo have.
Mm-hmm.
But they're skilled enough to give him a lot of trouble with that really porous defense, whether it's the footwork or the hands.
No, I agree. I think the defense was atrocious in the fight. But I do think, because watching Tank's last fight against Santa Cruz, that, you know, he left himself open a lot in that fight. The Santa Cruz didn't have no power to really put him down. But he hit him. He was hitting him effectively to a point where he caught Tank, and Tank responded a couple of times. They respond well to the punch. Now I think that this fight, if he fought Tank, if Ryan Garcia fought Tank, it would be electric, because you would get to see who can take what. Because we all, like, both dudes, dudes have violent punches. Like, both of them. So the thing is that who's going to get caught first, and who's going to get caught flush first in that fight? I think that would be a great fight, because the fireworks are out. Like, both dudes ain't worried. They're worried about offense. Defense isn't what they care about. Like, they care about offense. Well, when you go to Haney, I actually think Haney could beat Garcia. Like, I think Haney could beat Garcia because he's a better boxer. I think if he doesn't get knocked out, if he, you know, plays his game, I think he can beat Garcia. I think it'd be very intriguing in terms of styles make fights and how explosive the fight could be. I think Tank and Garcia is must see TV. I think it's just
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not to cut you off, my bad.
Yeah, no, you're good. No, I'm done. No, it's done. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I mean, to me, in my opinion, the big money fight at 135 is T.O. versus Tank. Like, that's the one where 4th of July, fireworks, somebody going to sleep. You understand?
Yeah.
It's going to be Undertaker Kane, some buried alive man. Somebody going
love the reference, dog. I love the reference. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will say this, though, because you bring up an interesting point in terms of Ryan and the defense that Tank showed, I think it's also very important that we, and again, no disrespect to Luke Campbell. Luke Campbell is a very good, very solid. I don't want anyone to call him solid. Mm-hmm. That feels like disrespect. He's a really good fighter. 2-3 years ago, Leo Santa Cruz was a top 10 pound for pound fighter. Mm-hmm. Like Leo, for whatever reason, you know, who knows what happened to him? Maybe, you know, he got rich, he was cool, mm-hmm. didn't take a lot of the fights after the, you know, after he reached that certain level of acclaim seriously, and then we started to look at him a bit different. But what we saw, I guess in what, November, early November, late October, you saw Leo at his best. Mm-hmm. Right? Leo was going for it.
He was going for it, yeah, definitely.
I don't think it's fair. I mean, Tank is not a perfect fighter by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But Tank's power is different than Ryan's power. I mean, you could just hit. And Ryan has explosive. Oh,
explosive.
Power. Mm-hmm. Tank.
Yeah.
And Luke Campbell ain't Leo Santa Cruz.
Facts.
You understand? Yeah. So I think Ryan Garcia, look, man, the beautiful thing about a potential fight between those two guys, they're not playing around. They're not here to kick.
Yeah.
They're not here to foreplay. They're going for it, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to throw the bombs off the rip. And if I'm going to put money on either one of them, I'm putting money on Tank knocking Ryan Garcia head off his shoulders, right? You can't play around like that versus big-time fighters.
Mm-hmm.
If Luke Campbell's going to drop you in the second round like that, I can only imagine what Tank would do to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I think the way to beat Ryan Garcia is to box him, but you also have to have some type of pop on your punches, which is why I do think Haney would present a lot of problems, difficulties. I think that's the best fight for Ryan moving forward. But to your ultimate point, I mean, when I look at 135, there's a whole lot of really fun combinations to make, but I would be really blown if we don't get Tank versus Tao at some point. That's the one that I need to see. To me, that's the marquee fight at 135.
You think he can? You think he can stay with Tank with T.O. though? I don't think it's. I think for Tank, I think that's scary. That's scary for Tank for me.
Yeah, it's scary.
That's scary for Tank for me though.
Again, you gotta hear me. Hear me out though. Yeah. Right. This is. I think we all would agree. If we're looking at potential, Shakur Stevenson is probably
my God,
the guy.
Yes.
Like, yo,
agreed.
He's blue chip, but the thing with Shakur is he doesn't have no pop on him.
I know.
And that's not to say that you don't need it, but like you ain't getting there with T.O. After what T.O. has done, you gonna have like I've seen what T.O. does against a guy who doesn't have elite level power, right?
It's not
we
pretty.
All know Shakur, you can't touch him. At some point he's gonna get touched.
Yes.
And when you get touched by somebody like T.O. who has shown you I can punch with anybody, but I also can outbox the best.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard lock to pick. So we all put Shakur to the side. If I'm looking at 135, again, the great equalizer. Tank has the power. I mean, he's not the boxer that Lomachenko is, though I would love to see a Tank Lomachenko fight. I think most of us have been wanting that for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But Tank has power, man, and what we saw Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get that one shot to the kidneys, that one shot to the liver, your body shuts down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the one thing. Tank has all the tools to be special. And I think we all can agree that he is special.
He's special. He's special. No, he's special. Mm-hmm.
He just has to fine-tune some things. Mm-hmm. But, man, if for my money's worth, I think obviously Tao would be the favorite, the prohibitive favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm fighting someone who has lightning bolts in their gloves like Tank does, oh, man, all bets are off.
Armand, agree or disagree, because of the pandemic, boxing has no choice but to put politics aside in order to make these fights happen because they need the money, right or wrong?
I believe you're right. I think that, I believe you're, I hate to be like, I don't want to, you know, I know politics is the world right now today. I don't want to be political. I don't want to be too political. But I would have been 80% right, Ray. I would have said like this.
85.
I think all of us have talked about this, whether it's on this show or privately or even on mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all kind of agree that Bud Spence doesn't happen. So if we move that to the side, if we just put aside that fight, I do agree with you 100%. I think the politics are where they are with those two fighters, and it has been poisoned so much that I think we may be beyond the point of no return with them two. But in terms of other fights,
yeah, man.
Particularly at 135, if we're looking at middleweight or super middleweight, there's so many exciting fights, and so many of the bigger names
mm-hmm.
are promoted by DAZN or DAZN fighters, right? So DAZN, they're like the middlemen, right? They're like Sweden, you know what I'm saying? They don't have beef with anybody. So DAZN will work with PBC, DAZN will work with Top Rank, DAZN will do whatever they got. Canelo sued Golden Boy and DAZN, and he still can do business with them. So, Eddie Hearn is in a really good spot in terms of making fights. And then when you look at the middleweight, when you look at guys, when you look at wherever Canelo decides to land, when you look at wherever Garcia or Haney or any of those other guys, I think it's enough where you're right. The pandemic, the guys wanting money, and the potential for these huge fights. Like, we're not talking about little middling fights. We're talking about, like, potentially huge fights. I think it's too much money for the majority of these guys to turn down, with one exception, and that exception being Spence and Bud.
Armand, let me tell you this. Trump tried to build a wall. He tried to do everything he could to secure the borders. We're talking politics, but let me say this. If Canelo fights Spence in Dallas, Texas, bruh, Mexico, Texas, the United States is going to be lit. I don't care if Spence gets the break me off of him. Boxing and everybody will benefit financially, emotionally, and just from a general standpoint, as sports fans, boxing fans, we would love it, bro.
So, it's so funny because here's the thing, right? It's pretty much a win-win when you think about
it. Of course,
yes.
If we could just get, especially like if you think of like the spectacle, when you think of like fights, like we all around the same age, so we kind of grew up around like Hearns, Leonard, Mike, when he came on the scene, and then we know that the huge pay-per-view fights of like Bo and the craziness with Bo and Holyfield. And then obviously a few years ago when you had Klitschko and AJ. Like, when you think of a great fight, you think of the spectacle, you think of like the fans, the celebrities, just the visual. And to me, if we were to get if we could just get our hands around COVID, and if in Jerry World you had Spence versus Canelo, Mexico, Dallas, you understand, like, the, you know, Jerry be down there winking at people in that cowboy blue, it'd be a showcase. And Spence wouldn't even have to win, for real. If Spence just showed himself to be capable of standing in there with Canelo, everybody, there's no loser in that situation. So I'm with you, Ray. Like, that would be a phenomenal event, a phenomenal fight. I don't think it happens, at least not in 2021.
Yeah,
because we don't know what the hell we doing with this stuff right now, man. But it'd be fun to see. There's so many fights for Canelo out there too, man. That's the thing. So many potential fights out there, and man, for boxing fans, this is it.
Yeah, well, Armand, man, appreciate you being on, homie. Tell our listeners about the next pod and where they can find it, also how they can hit you up on social media.
For sure, man. I appreciate you guys for always inviting me onto the show. Each and every Tuesday, man, the Quarterly Report podcast, brand new episodes. You can download, check out the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Overcast, whatever DSP you listen to. We are there, the Quarterly Report podcast, Quarterlee Report. And you can follow me on Twitter, the show's podcast, Quarterly Show, and on my personal account, Armand, Armon. _LEE. This week, you know, we're talking about Ryan Garcia's fight. We're talking about James Harden and if the Miami Heat, why they are so reluctant to pull the trigger and get a former MVP. And also, I know you guys are big NBA heads as well.
Yeah.
Is it too early to grade the John Wall, Russell Westbrook trades?
All of that
is so much more for the show, man.
Check We just had Troy.
We just had Troy on.
You know what? Armand lectured the people on fake news about a month ago. So we're gonna have to have that discussion later on, man.
We will, man.
I already know what you're saying.
You ain't lying. Oh, baby. Armand, man, thanks for being on, homie. We're going to talk to you later.
Shout out to y'all, man. I love y'all show, man. Happy New Year to both y'all brothers, man. Thanks again for the opportunity to talk to you and the folks.
Anytime, man. Yeah, and happy New Year to you again, man. Anytime.
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks, Armand. And make sure you follow Armand on Twitter at Armand Lee. That's at Armand underscore Lee. That's at Armand underscore Lee. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter, and that's at Quarterly Show. That's at Quarterly Show. All right. We are going to talk about the NFL playoffs. Host of the Football Garbage Time podcast, Ha-Kun Wong and Ryan Whitfield will join us after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports saying for ages, Yeti Deuces.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on,
you good?
Come on,
I know you like that.
Yeah, you good, man.
I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
Welcome back. I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all want to smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde queens. These young boys don't know what a don mean. I'm just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker, always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over. Need a plane, I explain it to my broker. Three box in the hood, top down, and ain't over. You know there's more, man, where that come from. Me and Kuda love rolling back to back in one.
See, the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
Still, I'm the most fly. I went so much, they wanna know who I'm coached by. Every day approached by chicks when I was most top. Wanna give me so side, but I'm like, don't.
Who don't like Welcome Back from Mace, bruh? Alright, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. Will T is out. We're part of Sports Journey. So check us out at sportsjourney.com. So this is like a welcome back song because we haven't had the homies here for a while. These individuals, you know who they are. You know what they about. But right now, we have hosts of the Football Garbage Time podcast, Ha-Kun Wong and Ryan Whitfield on the line. What's going on, Ha-Kun and Ryan? What's good?
Woo! What's up, man? We're bringing the smoke.
I saw it on the tweet when you was helping us promote. I saw it. My man said he's bringing in the smoke.
Yeah. Yes, right. That's right. Ryan has been keeping up his end of the bargain. He was supposed to be bringing the smoke for us all season long, and he hasn't been exactly bringing the smoke. Hey. So we're doing it today.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
It must be The Bachelor, huh?
Where my man Ryan? Man?
You know, I got to tell you, boys, I was going to keep it pretty professional today until Wole decided to keep me on hold.
No chance.
I had you on hold.
I've been sitting back in the green room. The waters were warm. There was no colored M&Ms out like I asked for. There was no perfect 10 models walking around. I just was sitting back here putting myself in to come on. And yes, my entire experience with the entertainment industry is based on the show Entourage, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
All I know is I didn't appreciate the treatment, and Vinny Chase wouldn't have taken this lying down.
Ryan.
You're a turtle, baby.
Ryan, you know what I'm saying? I apologize. You know you're my guy, though. You're my guy. You know what I mean? You talk a lot of trash,
I'm
going
to try to get past it.
Yeah, please. You talk a lot of trash, though, but you're still my guy. Like, you're still my guy. You're going to always be my guy, all right? You know what I mean? Our fantasy football war.
I played your league for 1 year and won it.
I know so, you. You keep talking about. Look, no, we're gonna have another one. All right, bro. We're gonna have another one. All right, and we're gonna change the fortunes. All right, we're gonna change things up. All right, and this time I'm gonna win my own league. Okay, I tried to win your league, and I got 86 early in the first round. Thought I was gonna do. I was and Ryan. Yep. Ryan, when I'm telling you this, I thought I was going to win that league. I had so much stuff in the bag ready to use against you, but I lost in the first round, and I couldn't even use it. I couldn't even use it.
Wow, man, I'm not surprised. You guys like Atlanta and Washington over there, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, yo! That's
hey, Ryan, are you even making picks this week? Are you making picks now? You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of seeing the blank next to your name.
You know who I am.
Wait, Ryan, who are you?
Giving everybody a head start.
Ryan, who are you, bro? Who are you? Say it, Ryan. Who are you, man?
I'm the man who's been picked all year, and I still think I got a better 3 year
after year. Mama, I want to give this.
Ryan is Jey Uso. He is Jey Uso.
Hey, oh man, hey, now using my SmackDown folks. Okay, Ray, I see you, bro.
He's Jey Uso. He's helping out Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns champion, my man.
Oh man, Roman killing it. All right, so Haku, I want to give you the floor right now. You know what I mean? You won the joint Urban Sports Saint versus Football Garbage Time Pick'em Challenge. You won it. So give us your championship acceptance
actually,
speech.
Actually, guys, we're still picking through the playoffs. So
your lead is kind of
yet,
your
yes,
lead is too big.
I'm
don't
so
do that.
Far ahead.
Don't do that.
You guys that's true. I kind of Alabama'd you guys. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't really catch up right now. That's cool.
Yeah,
awesome. I appreciate the recognition.
Yeah. So Will's not here. So Will would say that you're doing some type of behind the scenes Donald Trump ish type of stuff. So you are a champ. You are it looks like you're the champion. No acceptance speech. You want to thank the little people like Ryan. You don't want to think like I don't know.
Well, I don't know if I can. I will thank all you guys for joining the league, so I have somebody to beat because it's nice to have. I can't, it's no fun. You win on your own. You need to have other people there to beat. So that's great. Thank you, guys, for being my doormat once again. It's fantastic.
Wow. Now,
and,
Ryan
did me a solid. He decided to take the bottom of the league in order to make sure you guys didn't feel bad to come back next year. Wow. And that's cool. One of us has to do it. So, thank you, Ryan. We work in a team here.
See, now, Ryan, I'm about to be on your side, Ryan. Ryan, hey, you weren't being modest. I gave you the floor to be modest. You threw us under the bus. It was good. Okay, go ahead,
hey,
Ryan.
Listen,
but now I'm on Ryan's side.
I love our matchups. That's all I can say. I'm just saying that this is the most fun I ever have when I come on your guys' podcast, and the most fun we ever have when you guys come on ours. And we can't deal with not having a week of you guys. So having this pick-em pool every year for 5 years. It's been freaking awesome.
Oh, man.
Plus, we always win, so that's cool.
See, it was good. Okay, you know what? It was good. Again, look, see Ray, see what he did there? I was going to say, man, I appreciate that. Appreciate the love. And then he just threw shade right there. Like, he just threw shade.
Yeah.
It was good, too. He threw the shade.
It's all love, man.
Oh, man. All right, so let's get to
it's definitely all love.
It definitely is. It really is.
It's all love. That's all. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so let's go to the NFC. Let's talk about the playoffs. That's why we're here. We want to talk about the playoffs. The NFC playoffs. Let's start on this side of the bracket. The Rams Seahawks seems like a really tight game. It's going to be an amazing game. These are two teams that are in the same division. I am going to start with Ryan. Ryan, give me your prediction and tell me why do you think who's going to win the game between the Seahawks and Rams?
Yeah, so I said this on our show last night. I'm going to go a little bit against what I think a lot of people are thinking about this game. I know all the facts. I know that we could be looking at I'm not even going to do the disgrace to myself of learning the kid's name in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Who played quarterback last week, who might be on track to start again.
Oh. Disgrace? Come on. AAF champion John Wolford, are you kidding me?
Okay, we looked at this during last summer or whatever. I'm not talking AAF with you, Hakeem. Like, you just gotta let it go. The rest of the world has. I'm not talking it. But regardless, with that said, I mean, if you look at trends, and I think that is important going into the postseason, the Seahawks are a team that has trended down during the back half of the season, and the Rams are a team that's trended up. So I think the Rams' defense has got better. And I thought early in the year, and here's my shot at you boys, that they feasted on, that lowly NFC East so bad that the Redskins, can't say anymore, my bad.
It's okay, so,
yeah, I'm so canceled. But the,
Washington football team was able to win it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought that the Rams' early record was inflated, but I think the way they played down the stretch, you know, gives them a fighting chance in this game. So, I think it's really close to a pick 'em in my mind. Mm-hmm. And if the Seahawks are to win, I think if you really, you know, I would stay away from this one from a gambling sense, but okay, if you really push me to make a pick, I would say I'm taking the Rams. Mm-hmm. And if the Seahawks win, it's going to be because Russell, DK, and Tyler Lockett just have perfectly an effort to carry the rest of the team.
And is there any chance that Jared Goff – so Jared Goff is definitely not going to play in this game?
They say he's a challenge. He came off of surgery. I think it's going to be a challenge for him to get back. That's what I think. So, but John Wolford, man, he's the real deal. He was the real deal last there, man. Mm-hmm. Against the Arizona Cardinals in the battle of the backup quarterbacks for playoff contention, he did all right. So, you know, I'm with Ryan on here. You know, obviously, I think at the end of the day, I agree that John Wolford is no great shakes. But hey, you know, we thought, who is this guy? He doesn't take an NFL snap. Is there a possibility they're going to beat the Cardinals? A lot of that is based on the fact that Kyler Murray was out. But you get up there against the Seattle Seahawks, they did not look impressive against those 49ers. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the end of the day, I still got to take those Seahawks. I believe they have that playoff mojo.
Yeah, it's hard.
Bakun, stop saying his name. I might actually remember it, please.
Like it's hard, you know, because without having a quarterback, it's like you know, their defense is good. The Rams' defense is good, but the game I saw, last week, that was atrocious. Yep. Offensive play. It's not like they have Todd Gurley back there. I mean, I want to pick the Rams. I mean, I kind of like what the Rams have been doing over the last some odd years, but you know, it's going hard to be Russ if your offense is trash. It's going to be hard to beat Russ if that offense is as bad as it looked last week. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just tough. It's tough, man. I love Aaron Donald. I really do. But let's go to the Bears versus the Saints. Hakun, give me. Oh, why yeah. do you think? Man, oh, this yeah. is your game. This is your game. This is you.
This is my game, man. My Bears managed to embarrassingly back into the playoffs, even though they didn't deserve it because of the fact that the aforementioned John Wolford beat the Cardinals and they managed to get in after getting whipped by the Packers. So this will be fun. The Bears against the Saints. Saints. Man, 9.5-point favorites here. Largest spread of the wild card game, so Chicago Bears, the biggest underdog. I don't know if anybody remembers, but the teams met on November 1st where the mm-hmm. Saints beat the Bears in overtime mm-hmm. by a score of 26-23. The Saints had Drew Brees. They had Alvin Kamara. They didn't have Michael Thomas, but they haven't had Michael Thomas all year. The Bears are playing Nick Foles. If we can be within three with Nick Foles, I think we have a chance. But that being said, the Saints have Drew Brees healthy. Michael Thomas is theoretically coming back, even though he's coming off a high ankle sprain. Alvin Kamara was questionable because of COVID, but he actually, get this, is only needs to be in quarantine through Saturday. This game's on Sunday. He's going to play. So he's going to actually play. This time around, we have Mitchell Trubisky back behind center, and although he's apt to throw ill-timed interceptions, he does make the offense a little bit more dynamic mm-hmm. along with a late-season resurgence of David Montgomery. He's actually been really good mm-hmm. over the last 3 weeks. Ultimately, this is going to come down to what the Bears do on offense and defense. On offense, if we see good Trubisky show up and the line continues to make room for Montgomery to run, there's a glimmer of potential here. On defense, if the Bears become the monsters of the Midway like they were in the first six games of the season behind Khalil Mack and friends, anything is possible. But honestly, the Bears' offense hasn't looked great this season, and I don't think this is a big surprise to anybody. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. seventh least yards per game, eighth least rushing yards per game, 14th least points per game. Not great stats for the Bears offense. However, over the last three games, the Bears have been much improved all over the page. I mean, in the last three games, most red zone scoring attempts per game, eighth least first downs allowed to opposing teams per game, sixth least third down conversions allowed per game, tied for the second least penalties per game. They're playing clean football all the way around. So, that saying, the contrast to that is the Saints have been essentially good everywhere. Right? The Saints have been good everywhere. They have the sixth most rushing yards per game and the fifth most points per game on offense. On defense, they allow the fourth least yards, the fifth least points per game. They have the eighth most sacks for the season, 45, and they're tied for the most interceptions this season. Their defense is rocking. You know, it's tough. It's a tough thing. The Bears win if the Bears can keep up red zone attempts, but convert them into TDs instead of field goals, because they've been doing a lot of stalling and hitting field goals. You can't win that way, and they have to keep the game within one score throughout. Bears also win if they additionally avoid third and long situations. They're not built for that, and they win if they win time of possession and keep the Saints offense off the field. The Saints win if they're back at full strength in the wild card game with Kamara and Thomas, if they pull away by more than one score, and quite frankly, if they show up at the stadium. I'm a Bears fan, but I don't have any delusions here that they're going to beat the Saints this weekend. I think they're going to keep it close. Saints win, Bears cover the 9.5-point spread.
Ooh. So, I mean, I think the Bears have an opportunity to win if Khalil Mack just dominates. We don't really know.
Yeah.
If he dominates, there's a chance. It's you know, because he can –
Yep.
He's a difference maker. He's that kind of player. And how is Roquan Smith looking?
Yep.
How's Roquan looking?
I actually don't know the most recent. Let's see. I actually haven't had a chance to check up on him, but I think there is looks like quite right now questionable still, okay, and looking like unlikely to play. So, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be a huge problem for us.
He does make that defense better.
And also, Darnell Mooney, also questionable for us. And he's actually been very good, really dynamic for us as well. So we can't afford to lose anybody.
Definitely.
Is the bottom line, right? I mean, the Bears have to play the perfect game. And I'll be rooting hard with my Khalil Mack jersey on. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to be enough.
Hey, all fans are superstitious. Not all, most fans are superstitious, but keep rooting, man. Keep rooting.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm superstitious. No doubt about that.
I am too. I'm not going to even lie to you. I am too. All right. So, hey, Colts Bills. Colts Bills, Ryan, you're on next.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to really spend a lot of time talking about this game. I'll just reiterate to what I said to Hassoun last night, which is the Bears do have a shot in this game. There's two things that need to happen. The rest of the Saints roster needs to contract COVID, and someone needs to invent a time machine so the Saints can go back and not pass on two elite quarterbacks and draft that bum Mitchell Trubisky. Short of that, it's like Hassoun said, if the Saints show up, good night.
So, Ryan, what about the Bills and Colts then? AFC, we're going to the AFC. Bills, Colts, Ryan.
Yeah, Bills and Colts. I think middle of the season, we saw the Bills had a couple game losing streak once they started to play better football teams. And when that happened, I think a lot of us, especially over here in New England, who have seen that for years, said the Bills team is fake good.
Yeah.
And they're not ready to take that leap. And then they finished the season in the fashion that they did, which proved the exact opposite, that they are a legit title contender. And I said last night that they might be one of the few teams I think can actually have a chance to knock off Kansas City and stop Kansas City from being a repeat champion. So that's the nice take. On the other side, Philip Rivers is a bum, has always been a bum, and always will be a bum.
Oh,
and the most notable thing Philip Rivers has ever done is play an AFC championship on a torn ACL, which was nailed. Not that he won, so I mean, cool, good story, I guess. And then the fact that he has 9 kids because he doesn't know how to.
Ryan's going in.
So the Colts get smacked.
Flag on the play.
Buffalo's going to be a buzzsaw. I think it's Buffalo and Kansas City in that AFC title game. I really don't see another way around it right now. So the Colts. I mean, there's that old expression, especially playing up in the north. And the Colts are a dome team. They're coming to Buffalo. It's going to be bitter out there, wintertime. So Colts, keep the buses warming up, because it's going to be a long ride back to the airport after.
Man, you know I'm a Philip Rivers dude. That's my guy, man. Dang, Ryan, you went on my man Philip Rivers. You don't like Philip?
You would be a Philip Rivers.
I do.
Fan.
I know. I like, he talks trash.
I
love him, man. I love Philip, man. I love him because he just doesn't care. He'll talk
trash.
He'll come at like, I mean, he'll
great
just
trash
talker.
He spends half the game crying to the refs.
Look,
oh my god,
man,
you just won in the NFL.
Oh my god, you like Brady? You like Brady? Brady cries too. They all cry.
Oh,
hey, they all cry. They all cry.
Get out of here.
Like, Brady will chase down a referee and curse him out in front of everybody. Like, they all cry. That's what they're prima donnas. They're prima donnas. They all cry.
Phil Rivers is an athletic ability away from being in the NBA. please spare me.
Look, man, Philip will shock the world, man. I think he's gonna beat Buffalo. I think Philip, because the Colts defense is really good, and Philip is amazing. You'll see. Watch. He's gonna shock the world. I'm telling you, gonna shock the world.
I don't
man.
Know.
I'm telling you, Philip's gonna.
Josh Allen. This is just. Can we just talk about Josh Allen?
Yeah, let's talk about Josh, man.
He's so freaking hot right now. Mm. I mean, give me a break. We should call him Zoolander. He's so freaking hot.
Whoa.
And the guy is insane. He's just on fire. He's on fire, man. He's like, he's not going to get stopped. He's not going to get stopped. Indianapolis Colts, one of the best defenses in the league, but only 20th against the pass. Josh Allen is going to carve him up this weekend. Bills are going to take it.
Bills are going to take it. Okay. All right. Let's go to this is a game I'm excited about. Ravens-Titans. I'm going to start with you, Hakeem.
Ravens. My favorite game of the weekend.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see this. Can't wait to see this, man. Baltimore Ravens. Ravens currently a 3.5-point favorite. Currently the only lower seed to be favored in a wild card game this weekend. The two teams have met four times in the postseason. Each have won two times apiece. This weekend's going to be the tiebreaker. It should be a real good one. Both offenses incredibly dynamic and explosive. Ravens, Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Andrews, Marquise Brown, and the Titans, Ryan Tannehill. Getting hot, A.J. Brown, always getting behind the defenses, and the league's leading rusher, King Derrick Henry. It's just unbelievable what they've been able to do. You know, the Ravens' offense has been unstoppable. You know, most rushing yards per game this season, 191.9 yards, and by a long margin. Seventh most points per game this season, 29.3. They are just on fire. The Titans' offense also on fire. They had the second most rushing yards per game. Mm-hmm. Just Derrick Henry alone. You know, nobody else has to run the ball. Just Derrick Henry. But at 168 yards. So think about that. 30 more yards per game for the Ravens between the first and second most rushing yards teams in the NFL. Third most total yards per game for the Titans. Fourth most points per game. They are really on fire. This is going to be a great shootout. But the key is going to be defense, right? Ravens defense, still one of the best in the league, allow the seventh least yards per game, the second least points per game, tied for the second least opponent red zone scoring attempts per game. They are really, really good still. Mm-hmm. The Titans defense, not so much. They allow the fifth most yards per game. They allow the ninth most points per game. They have the third least sacks on opposing quarterbacks, and they allow the third most opponent red scoring attempts per game. They really are a bend and sometimes break defense. And I think it's really going to come down to that at the end of the day. The Ravens win if they maintain time of possession. Lamar Jackson remains aggressive and confident, because we know that when he's confident, he can do no wrong. But when he starts to doubt himself, he does a lot of things that are just not great. The Ravens have to limit penalties, because at this point, the only downside is that the Ravens do have the fifth most penalties per game, leading to the third most penalty yards per game. So they got to play a clean game. And they got to contain the king. They got to contain King Derrick Henry, and they got to make sure he doesn't have a great game, just a good game. And I mean, they allow a 100-yard game, not a 200-yard game. Mm-hmm. That's what they got to do. Titans win if they maintain time of possession, and that's going to be a challenge for them, because they have the fifth lowest time of possession per game, 28 minutes and 19 seconds. So they're going to be challenged to do that, because Derrick Henry is on the ground, but he breaks those long runs. They get down there real fast, and they either kick a field goal or score real quick. They don't maintain ball control. They win if they win the turnover battle. And get this, the Titans have the best turnover ratio this season at plus 11. Basically, it's primarily based on the fact that they have the second least number of total giveaways this season at only 12. So they win that turnover battle, maintain time of possession. Tannehill and his wide receivers get behind the defense for one big play. And we know what A.J. Brown and Corey Davis can do that. Mm-hmm. And you don't allow Lamar Jackson to run. I don't care if you have three spies or four spies. Have five guys go around and circle hands and just stand around Lamar Jackson. If you allow him to run, then it's over. That's the way I see it. And I think that the Ravens defense finds a way to limit Henry to that 100-yard game. Lamar Jackson remains hot. I'm going to the Ravens with this game, and they're going to cover that 3.5-point spread.
Mm. So, Ryan, what if the Ravens fall behind? Is Lamar good enough to come back in this game against the Titans?
Yeah, I don't think that he's not good enough to come back, because I'm a big believer in Lamar Jackson's ability, but I'm also a big believer in the psyche of athletes. And Lamar Jackson is one more no-show in the playoffs away from developing Clayton Kershaw syndrome. Mm. So he better hope he comes out and that they play good, right off the jump. I mean, they showed last year they can come back and when they opened up and compete. But, I still think that the biggest weakness in the Ravens game is not Lamar Jackson's passing ability, mm-hmm. but it's the passing game weapons. Mm-hmm. And Marquise Brown's a nice player, but I mean, Dez Bryant is seeing targets in Baltimore. I don't know what to say. Boone can vouch for this that. Yeah. There was no bigger Dez Bryant fan that didn't live in Dallas than me.
Mm-hmm.
Dez is everything I love as a receiver. Mm-hmm. He is physical. He's me strong. Too. He's aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like your John Ross. John, who the hell is the Washington kid? John Doxon or whatever.
Josh Dotson.
Those speedy. Oh, you can run the fourth.
Oh, John Ross. You talk about Ross.
You can't run a route and can't make a contested catch. I don't care about those guys. Yeah. I love Dez.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're throwing the ball to Dez Bryant in 2021 for the Ravens says something about the weapons you have. So I think Lamar Jackson is good enough, and I think the Ravens are good enough that they can, as long as it's not too far gone, that they should be able to come back. But I think more importantly, they got to start this game strong, because if they get behind, watch out in terms of starting to get nervous and tight and it, When that pressure starts to build, I don't know if they're good enough to overcome that and overcome being, behind on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Ryan. That's my concern. I just think that if they fall behind, I don't know, because of the psyche, the mental aspect of it. I don't know if they're ready to overcome that, especially with this Titan team. When if you fall behind, now you have so much pressure on trying to stop Derrick Henry, because they're willing to run the football and drain that clock. So it's interesting. This matchup is interesting. It's like old school Baltimore Ravens Titans when Ray Lewis was in Baltimore and the late great Steve McNair was in Tennessee. Like those rivalries, those games used to be so heated. And Eddie George too, when he was with the Titans, they used to be so heated. And this game too, when you see these two teams lock up because the trash talking on the field and whatnot, it's kind of reminiscent of those glory days when those legends were playing back then. So it's gonna be a great game, man. It really is. All right, I want to go with the Brown Steelers. I'm gonna start with my man Ryan. Brown Steelers.
Yeah. Yes, again, another thing I pointed out last night, this Steelers team was the fakest 10-0 team in the NFL since the Patriots were 10-0.
Who gave him that loss, though? Who gave him that first loss?
It does not matter. The point being, they were a paper tiger. They've always been a paper tiger. We talked about it on our show a lot this year, that even early on, that there was all this praise about how good Ben was coming back. It doesn't look as bad as he did at the beginning of last year when his shoulder was elbow was freaking falling off. But if that's the watermark for being better, then hell, I could go out there and play football. So, I think he really is the problem. The inconsistent run game is not helpful in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I do love all the pieces on that defense, and I do obviously. I love Deontay Johnson and I love Juju, but I think they're both more suited to be number twos. You have both of those guys as your number two receiver, and you had an Antonio Brown from a couple years ago still as the number one guy or whoever else you want to insert there, that's fine. And Chase Claypool's shown some flashes to do that. And obviously we've talked about this here before. Hakuna and I are huge Notre Dame fans, so I'd love to tout him as being good enough to be the number one option on your offense, but it feels like there's still one marquee piece away. Now that doesn't mean they can't be good enough, But I just don't think that they are. And I really liked what the Browns did last week. And judging by Hakun's tone on our call or on our show last night, he does not agree with me. But I think we talked about that pressure a moment ago with Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That pressure was on the Browns last Sunday.
Yeah.
Here they are. They coughed away that game against the Jets. Now it looks like they were going to get 10 wins and still miss the postseason. There's all that generational pressure there. They haven't been to the playoffs in 15-plus years, whatever it was, 2002, since O.J. Santiago was there for the old heads on
Ooh,
here.
Ooh, man.
I remember that guy.
O.J. Santiago? Okay.
For the Browns. that's how long. I think Braylon Edwards was also on that team.
My boy was on that. A friend of mine was on that team. A friend of mine was on that team, on that exact team. But go ahead, continue.
So it's been a while. So they had a lot of pressure And even at the end of that game, there was still that pressure mounting. And mm-hmm. I don't know, there's something about that run play with Baker. I've never been a big Baker supporter, but that run play, he gets up and the mm-hmm. fist pump. And I looked at it and said, okay, that's a moment. That's nailed. That nice. Shows that there is something different going on with this Cleveland team this year. Is it good enough to beat Pittsburgh? I don't know, but I kind of sneakily like them to win this game. So I'm going Cleveland, because they wanted to. The Pats are tied with the most Super Bowls. I want the Steelers winning another. So Cleveland's winning this and knocking Pittsburgh out early.
And Ryan, I do agree with you. I think something has changed, though. I do agree with you. Something's changed with Cleveland. And it wasn't – I know it sucks that they lost to the Jets and whatnot and whatever, but I thought I saw a change when they competed with the Ravens. Like, that's when I saw a change. I was like, they had an opportunity to win that football game. It was highly touted. It was a game that people wanted to see if the Ravens would blow them out, and they competed. And they could have beat the Ravens, but, you know, obviously Justin, what's his name, the kicker for the Baltimore, Justin Tucker, there you go, Justin Tucker, you know, made a 50-yard kick like he always does. But that's when I knew Cleveland is ready for the big time. They messed up with the Jets, but I thought they were ready. Hakun, you're next.
Well, okay, I'll do this real quick because I am a big fan of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I think they are a great tandem in the backfield. And I know that the Pittsburgh Steelers have the fourth best rush defense in the league, but these guys are dynamite together. And quite frankly, Nick Chubb on the ground and pound, third most rushing yards, sixth most rushing touchdowns. Kareem Hunt, fourth most receiving touchdowns for running back. Two of them are just dynamite. I mean, they're just really dynamite. And I think if the Browns kind of keep this within down and distance, if they don't start getting blown out, then I think they have a chance to win this game just in the back of those two guys and Baker Mayfield just, you know, making sure he pushes it down when he needs to. I think the thing that's really interesting is that, yeah, I agree with Ryan that the Steelers are one of the worst 10-0 teams in NFL at the time. But the fact of the matter is that Ben Roethlisberger isn't as bad as we all think. I mean, I in the eye test, he looks terrible, but you know, he still has the sixth most passing touchdowns in the NFL, most completions in the NFL. I mean, the thing is that he's actually consistent, you know, and it's really interesting because you don't feel that way when you watch him, right? You look at him and you're like, he's old, he's not accurate, he's not doing anything, he's not moving. He actually is pretty good. You know, Juju's not performing, but that's because he's not getting targeted. Deontay Johnson's really breaking out. Chase Claypool there. What? I just named three guys who could be starting wide receivers in any team in the NFL. So I think that at the end of the day, they have plenty of weapons. I do worry about the ground game, just like Ryan said. I mean, I just don't believe in anybody that the Pittsburgh Steelers have back there. So they do not have the ability to grind that clock away. They're going to have to pull away and win that way. The Browns do. You know what? I hate to do it, but I got to pick the Steelers. I got to pick the Steelers, their favorite 3.5. I think the Browns keep it close, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a competitive game. I do. I really believe it's going to be a competitive game. No one mentioned James Washington for Pittsburgh. No one likes James Washington?
Well, you know, he is a guy, and he is a wide receiver. So, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, that's like Dez Bryant's little brother. That's like Dez Bryant's little brother. Hey, thanks. I want to thank you all for being on the show. Before we let you go, can you let our listeners know about the podcast? Know what was your last podcast? Let them know all about it and how they can catch it and where they can find your podcast at.
Okay, well, you can obviously find us at footballgarbagetime.com, and we have our podcast weekly, which is up on basically anywhere you find podcasts. So you'll find it on iTunes, you'll find it on Stitcher, you'll find it on all the different radio channels, as well as Alexa. If you tell Alexa to play Football Garbage Time, it will play our podcast for
you. That's dope.
And you can find it on our site, footballgarbagetime.com. And I don't know if you guys know this. I guess you must know this because Ryan – actually, he put on his last show with me last night as the main host of our show. He is actually retiring from sports journalism, and he's going to be. And I already made him promise to come back and be on the show of you guys and to compete and he said he's going to bring the smoke for you guys.
Oh, thank you, Ryan.
From here on into eternity. So don't worry about that.
Okay, cool.
Don't worry about that.
Cool,
that's not going anywhere.
All right.
And he's going to be a guest spot over. But we are actually bringing on a new regular host. It's going to be our guy, Adam Aniba.
Okay,
from the Burgundy Gold is going to be the new weekly co-host on the Football Garbage Time NFL podcast.
Oh, this is dope.
Look at this.
This is the
DMV is spreading out.
When the Baltimore Ravens
play
when the Baltimore Ravens and Washington football team playing the Super Bowl this year, we'll all get together. Cool. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll go get our crab cakes together. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. I see you. Okay, Haku. You know about the crab cakes. Okay. oh, man. So, Ryan, you leaving this? That's messed up, Ryan.
Yep.
You didn't DM me this, man. You know, this affects my life. You know, my social media life.
Yeah. You know, I thought we'd just drop the exclusive on your show. Give you guys some listeners for once.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. This is what we do. Uh-oh.
DMZ is going to post it.
No longer TMZ, it's TMZ.
You know what I'm saying?
This is the one that's blowing you guys up. But, it's time for me to focus on the other areas that things are a little bit more lucrative in. So, but like I said, I'm still down to do guest shows with Hakun, you guys, whenever. And don't worry, I'm not going anywhere on Twitter. So I'll be in your ear all next football season.
He's not going
walking
anywhere.
Walking away from all the football work means I might actually find time to make picks next year. So
there he is.
Hey Ryan, these days Ryan, I'm like, oh, I forgot about picks too. When you do it, and when you miss it, I don't feel as bad. Now I'm like, all right, cool. Like I'm usually last minute. I am last minute. And then when I'm like, all right, did Ryan make his picks? He didn't. Okay, cool. I don't look as bad.
What a class act.
Yes.
Oh man, hey, but I appreciate you guys for being on. And you want to drop your social? Your social media. Y'all want to drop your handles or whatnot so folks can follow you.
Yeah.
Except for Ryan. Ryan's retiring. Time, Ryan's retiring.
Twitter.
Except for Ryan. Ryan's retiring. go Hawkins. Go ahead.
At FB Garbage Dive, but hey, follow Ryan too at Ryan Whitfield NE because hey, he needs to get some love out there on Twitter land, man. We're gonna have to make sure he stays honest and he stays on Twitter. Right, so man. Everyone follow him.
I'll tell you, one of the side ventures I'm working on is doing affiliate marketing. So I'm going to be dropping lots of links on Twitter. So okay. Make sure you do your Amazon shopping through all my links from now on. Thanks, everybody. All
right. You know I got you, man. I mean, I may make jokes. You know I got you, bruh. And so we're going to I'm going to retire Ryan's jersey, his face. I mean, his fancy football jersey, championship jersey on Twitter.
Nice.
I'm going to retire it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna try to take a picture of it. I'm gonna hang it on the Raptors, Ryan, for you. Woo. You know what I'm saying? Because you did win the Urban Sports Scene fancy football championship.
It.
I got you, man. You know what I'm saying? Look out, man. And then I'm gonna talk trash to you about it. Trash about you after I do it. Because it's the only way to go, dog. It's the only way to go. Like I have to do it that way. I want you to know, like that's all love though. When I do that. All right, y'all.
It always
man.
Is.
All right, you guys, man. Have a good one. Have a blessed one. And happy 2021.
Yeah, happy New Year, guys.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
take it easy, guys. All
right, take care. Awesome, man. Love those dudes. All right, so again, make sure you follow Hakung and Ryan on Twitter. Hakung's his Twitter handle is at. Well, I'm not gonna use that one. Actually, that's to go with football garbage time. I was gonna put his official Twitter handle. Let me give you his. The football garbage time Twitter handle. It's at FB Garbage Time. Again, that's at FB Garbage
same
Time.
Thing.
You know, no, it's something different. He got another one too,
it's
bro.
The same thing.
He got another one.
I know he does. I mess with him on that one too.
Oh, do you? Does he respond to that one?
He is the man behind FB Garbage Time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's the same thing. You're right. Facts. It's the same thing. I'm not gonna put Ryan's. Yeah. He's retired. I'm not gonna put Ryan's Twitter handle out there, man. I'm not gonna do that to that man. Again, check out the football garbage time website at www.footballgarbagetime.com. So, man, in terms of the urban sports scene, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Just search the urban sports scene. Also, tweet us
in
at urban sports scene and hit us up on our urban sports scene Facebook page. I mean, I can't group everything together. People get confused, man. You gotta like spread it out,
bro. In terms of
the
urban sports
scene, yes. You know what
just
I'm saying?
Follow us, my yeah. friend. I understand where you're coming from. You are. Listen, man,
sure.
Brother, it's been great.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead, dog. I hate you, dog. Go ahead. Don't give me off script, man. I like to be on script. Go ahead, Ray. What were you saying? What were you about to say?
I was just going to say real quick. What? Just what if Washington football team versus Baltimore.
Yeah, when you
Super
said
Bowl.
That, I was
you know
like,
how crazy that would be for DMV.
That would be dope. It won't happen this year,
not
though, but it'd be dope.
I'm just saying.
It'd be dope eventually. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope with the way
it's
Ron is building.
Yeah. Baby.
Yeah, exactly. The way Ron is building this squad, I can see if they get a, you know, get some kind of quarterback play, another quarterback that's healthy,
John versus Ron. It's perfect. Ron, John. Go ahead, brother. Close it out. Close it.
All right, man.
New storm, baby.
I know. Go ahead, man. And make sure you check out Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com for all of your DMV sports content. Yes, now I can close out. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yeah, dig. Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Also, again, Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you all for listening. You all stay blessed and safe.